Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to It's Personal, a podcast about creators and their stories. Another episode of It's Personal. I am so excited. It's so interesting because I went back and I was listening to some of my podcasts from the last season, and you're the first guest on this season podcast. So I am super excited because we've been trying to talk for a very long time now. can you please introduce yourself?
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. This is finally happening. I'm Nadine Presley. I'm the author of The City of Jasmine, coming in winter 2025, illustrated by Heather Brockman Lee. And yes, I'm so excited about it.
So fun, so fun. And I'm gonna like jump right into it. How does it feel to know that you have, you know, a book coming into the world?
I think this is the first time I say it out loud, like right now with you, since the announcement. It's really exciting. Definitely a dream come true, especially in what the book is about. Definitely a dream come true, and I can't wait for like 2025. Seems so far.
It's amazing. It seems far, but it comes like rocket fire. Like you're gonna blink and you're gonna wake up and it's gonna be getting closer and closer, and all those dreams and ideas that you had thought about many years ago are gonna be in front of you. And you know, I'm a crier, so I'm ready to. I already have told myself I'm gonna cry when I see my book. So I feel like if you're ready to do that, you could do that as well.
September, right?
September. Yeah. So yeah.
That cover is just stunning. I mean, we can't.
Everything you're feeling, right? I know exactly how you feel. Exactly how you feel. So tell me about your writing journey. Like how did it start for you? I know that you had been writing for a while. What did that look like for you as a kid growing up, all the way until now? Because I know it must have changed in there somewhere.
Oh, definitely. So I was born in Kuwait, by the way, which is something.
What?
Yeah, very, very odd piece of information. We spent a few months there, and then we moved to Canada. And I spent, I think, the first 7 or 8 years of my life here. And then we moved to Syria, Damascus, where I'm originally from. And I grew up there. I got my bachelor's in pharmacy there. And then I got married there. And then about in 2012, around that time, we moved to Morocco it was supposed to be like a transitional time. Like a short period of time when we were going back to Syria. And then things broke out just around that time, and we weren't able to go back. So we stayed in Morocco for a few years, and then we moved to sunny Florida, and then we moved to Canada. So this is, yeah. It was, and I think all of these moves kind of contributed to the book that is right now, The City of Jasmine. You see it simmering in the background, because like in the beginning, I don't think we ever kind of intended to leave Syria. It was kind of where we wanted to like grow old and live. And then when we moved to Canada, we kind of noticed that shift in people's perspective. Okay, so I'm going to take a couple of steps back. When we moved to Canada, I have two of my three boys. And the first, he was in this like really his reading phase. He was he's a big, big reader. I think he was around like 7 or 8, and he had like finished the whole Harry Potter series twice. And he was just looking for books. And I was in that phase that I'm looking for a lot of books for him. And at the same time, my second boy, he was going through a lot of delays with his speech, and I was kind of like pushed in two very different directions, with my oldest needing a lot of books and my youngest having this really significant delay. So I think writing became kind of an outlet. I was reading a lot for my son and finding books, and I was writing about my second boy. And I think like, yeah, they kind of made it happen in a sense. When I was trying to look for books for my oldest, I realized that there were very little Arab, Middle Eastern, Muslim, and no Syrian characters whatsoever. And I was writing about my youngest, and I think I hear about this a lot from a lot of authors, and it's especially true with me. Like, you start writing about something and then you realize that not specifically your voice, and then you kind of find your voice in within that period of time. So I was writing about him, and then I kind of found out that there's this thing that I'm so passionate about, and it's like where I'm from and the voice that I have to offer. And that leads us to the shift of like, people ask you where you're from a lot, and I've noticed over the years it was kind of like people either didn't know where Syria was, or they did know and they had like these beautiful things to say, and it kind of shifted to, oh, you're from Syria, I'm so sorry to hear that, or oh, what's going on there is just horrible, or you know, it happened so often that it kind of became what you're defined by, if that makes sense, like your identity, mm-hmm. like you're linked to this place that is a place of conflict. And in my mind, I'm like you hold on to these memories of growing up in your hometown, and Damascus is like the oldest capital in the world. And it's become defined by a decade long conflict, and like this very rich culture isn't being portrayed anywhere. Like, the media is full of pictures of rubble, destruction, refugees, and all that, you know? And so, like, I just really wanted to tell the world, you know, to show the world the beauty of Damascus. Damascus is the city of jasmine. It's always been the city of jasmine, because everywhere you walk, you're surrounded by bushes of beautiful jasmine, and the smell is beautiful. So wow. I guess that's a long story of how the city of jasmine
that
came.
That is amazing. You are ready, Nidhi. You are ready. That is it. Like, was giving me goosebumps listening to you, how that story has come about, and just the idea of being able to, you know, we often sit. As adults, we are able to sit in our trauma and use that trauma to, you know, inspire us to write and create, et cetera, because those moments are not easy. And I can only imagine, you know, being able to speak and share proudly of like where you are from and the things that create you, and people looking at you and feeling sorry or having a negative reaction. So I can only imagine what that feeling is. But I am so, I'm proud of you. I'm super excited for you. And I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I am too.
I am so ready. I'm so ready. What was it like moving from, I think I read that it was three different continents. So like, what was it like moving from continent to continent in regards to, like, I don't know if you said specifically age-wise, like what age you were when you had moved, but what was it like in that transition?
I think moving and being like exposed to different cultures really makes up who you are as a grown-up, in the sense of it richens and kind of broadens your view of the world. And I think that was specifically like for us, having lived, so we started out living in Canada, and then Syria, and then Morocco, and then back to Canada. So I think I could say that every part, I learned a little bit of myself, about myself more. And that's so interesting about when you travel, you're learning about all these different cultures, but you're also being exposed to this part of yourself that comes out everywhere you are. And you learn about yourself. I think you have the most experience because you've traveled so much and you've like actually worked. And that's something I try to do. Like every time I move, I like to try to work, and especially like through teaching or like being in the community. And I think you really learn about yourself and what you have to offer, so that you reach a point where wherever you go, you know, like, this is what I have to offer. This is what, how I'm going to help out. This is what I'm going to give back. So, and I think this is some of the most important things I've learned through travel.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's a great segue into the second question, because and I wanted to mention this because I want to hear more about it and just like how it's going in general. I remember not a while back, actually, maybe I don't know how long ago, but you shared with me some of the work that you're doing in regards to like the book auction. Can you just share for individuals who may not know, what was the point or the theme around the book auction, and why did that come about?
Mm-hmm. So I think when the earthquake hit Turkey and Syria, and we were flooded with images of destruction again and people in very, very difficult condition, it was like a flashback, you could say, to 10 years back or 12 years back when the conflict started or the war broke out in Syria. And it was just me and a close group of writer friends that were feeling the same sense of hopelessness that we felt back then. But this time around, we have this, like, we're part of this writing community, and I love our writing community, and I think we do such a great job, like, lifting each other up. And so I was speaking to one of my friends, and I was like, let's do an auction, let's include everybody, let's just have our writing community back us up and kind of and come together for this cause. And I was like, I don't even care if we raise $2,000, $3,000, we can just start with our close group of friends, we can give out critiques, sign books. And so we put out a call, an open call for publishing professionals. And I remember going to sleep and waking up next day with over 300 donations. And we were just like a group of like, four or five authors, and we were working, and we needed to get all these auction items up in a really fast time, because our auction was already live, and we were like feeding this auction, and while we're feeding auction, we had like big items coming in. I don't know if you saw like Neil Gaiman, Leigh Verdugo, like so many like big names were donating books in sessions, and so it blew up, it really did, and we ended up raising $88,000. And it's definitely above that number, because even people who like won items, we realized then they were donating above the amount that they had that they needed to give. It was just like so much generosity, and we felt so grateful to be part of this writing community and to be able to do this after all this time of feeling hopeless, like to towards this cause. It's so beautiful.
Unbelievable. And I mean, I think that I don't know what it is, but I do believe that the writing community that, and I'll speak for myself, just because I'm feeling connections based on what I hear from you. It's just like, people are, I hate to use the word nice, but people just care about each other. Like this writing thing, and I'll be honest, like, I think there is a core group of people of color who just like look out for each other. And I think that is, it just holds true to what people try to like give back in regards to passing the torch down, because, you know, like it takes a village. We hear it all the time. It truly takes a village to raise anyone. And I think that's what a lot of authors tend to try to do. Like, I reach out to so many people and oddly they write back. And I know that you talked before that Joanna was a mentor of yours.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's actually how the so what I told you, I was writing about my son first. And then at one point, I remember reading Watercress, you know, Watercress. Mm-hmm. And you're incredible. And I think that was like such a moment for me. And I remember like closing Watercress, sitting on my laptop and writing The City of Jasmine, like just then. Wow. I think it had been simmering in the background for like the years of like how I explained to you before. And I remember like that point, reading it, closing it, sitting down, and the applications for the PB Chat mentorship were like, that was like the last day, and I had nothing written, and I didn't really consider like sending anything. So when I wrote that, I sent I sent the application out for the mentorship, and like a few weeks later, I only sent it to Joanna because I loved her so much and I've been following her. I feel like she's like she's so similar to me. I think we have so much in common, and I so really wanted to work with her. So I sent it like to her, and she chose me as her mentor. So and mentee, and we worked together for 3 months, and it was so amazing working with her. She knows how to write, to ask all the right questions, and she's so fabulous. And I know you guys met recently, and you've seen how kind she is, and just really she has an eye for these for things in books. And she was I wrote another 2 manuscripts while we were working together, and yeah, it was just so much fun. Wow. And then there was a showcase for the PB chat where like editors and agents kind of hop on and request your work, and that's how I actually signed with my agent. So yeah,
it was so good. Yeah. So was your experience kind of like going through the mentorship and then your work kind of being dropped a little bit, basically?
So it was so Justin Colon, who was the founder of PB Chat, he kind of has it set up as like a page where you have like a short synopsis of your picture book and kind of a little bit about yourself. And so editors and agents, they just come in, they comment like, I'm interested in seeing, please contact me. So, and we email them after. So after the showcase, I emailed, like, I was very, very blessed to have like a bunch of agents write in their contact information. And so a little bit after, I actually got an offer from another agent. And so I nudged all these other agents of mine, and I kind of like at the back of my mind always wanted to work with Alison Ramchuk. She's just so an amazing person and agent. And so she emailed me saying like, I didn't get your email before your manuscripts. And I was like, oh my God, let me send them to you. So I sent them to her, and like 5 minutes later, my phone was ringing and she was like on the phone. And just the fact that she picked up the phone, that meant so much to me. And I'm so thrilled to be working with her still. And yeah, wow. That's the story.
Author stories, like Joanna, for one, shared her story with our school, and I luckily was teaching and she shared that story with our class. Then like I hear so many other stories, but they're all so different. Everyone's journeys are so different, and I love to hear that, because often we also have young writers, high school or new writers. I consider myself a new writer. They feel like sometimes it's just one way to do it. So yeah. Hearing your story and other stories, it just, again, confirms that there isn't one way to do this thing, right? Like sometimes you have to do things that make you feel uncomfortable. You have to share your work with people, even though you're feeling a little insecure, like all these things, which makes me feel even more excited about just the world of writing in itself, because people like you and me, and which again, like you said, is very hard to say sometimes, we are writers. We're going to call ourselves writers.
100%. I agree with that. Yeah, I was just saying that everybody's writing journey is so different, and there are so many ways to do it. And the bottom line is just to keep going, you know, just to keep writing, to keep making these connections with other authors, because I know without other author friends that have helped me out and I help out, of course, in return, like these are priceless connections. And I know that today I have so many people that I've met through writing that I consider my very close friends that I'm so lucky to have. And so I think writing in and itself, it's not just about publishing a book. It's just the whole community that you have that will really be there for you, and like these connections that you make with people. And just like me and you chatting right now, having this one thing in common, being writers and bonding over so many other things, I think being a part of this community is definitely a huge blessing.
And I want to ask about your boys, just because I see them all over your account and they are beautiful children. What's it like being a mom? What are some things you like to do with the boys? I know that you also mentioned, I was reading your bio, you said, I think it's the youngest, you said maybe, And I think you said that he's a little bit goofy. I'm wondering, like, what do you guys like to do? What do you like to do during your spare time? Because I know they're busy.
Yes. Yes, I have three boys. My oldest is 10. My second boy is 7. And my youngest is 3. My youngest is just the funniest boy. Like, I'd be like stressed out and like having such a like hard time with something. And he'd come and he'd like hold my face and he'd like say, "Mama, I love you. I love you." Or he'd like start tickling me. Or he's just like this funny, funny character, you know? And my oldest is like, I don't know if it's the first. The first is kind of the more serious child, the reader, the one trying to like always impress, you know, and the second falls somewhere in between the two. But yeah, a lot of if we're spending time at home, a lot of our time is just like running after each other. The kids like jumping on top of each other, wrestling, and me trying to avoid fists and kicks. And when their father joins, it's like very, very fun.
Yeah, as it very, should very be, as it should be, as it should be. And I think that's so fun because as a teacher, I think just kids need to play in general. I think play is just such a amazing tool that we often forget about as educators. I'm not a parent, but I know that sometimes in school we forget that like genuine connections between humans and conversation is enough sometimes. So I love to hear that, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it's keeping them from each other, which is fun. Oh, I did. I also noticed that you at one time you wanted to be a basketball star. So I want to hear about this because I love basketball as well. So do you still play? Who's your favorite team? Give it all. I want to know it all. So I got time too.
I really got into basketball when I was around 10 or 11. And in Damascus, we had a place where we used to get together and play. And I had a coach and we would go three times a week. And I was so dedicated. And I was going to be like the first player that wore a hijab. And like, I was like always like, you know, it's such big hopes. I still play basketball, but not professionally at all. I try to pass it on to my kids. We have a net outside, like the our driveway, and we try to play there. But I can't say that I'm really invested in the basketball world right now. Everything else has pushed me in so many different directions, and yeah, I do that's remember so I used fun. To like the. That's about it.
That's so fun. That's so fun. And I ask because I think it's so interesting. This is one of the reasons why. I'm biased. It is my own podcast, but I do love asking questions like that because authors are so much more than what a lot of people get to see, right? They get to see, you know, the published work and they get to see the book on the shelf. They get to see that book being read to them by a teacher or another parent. And I love that you have so many other interests. You also mentioned that you are, you know, technically a pharmacist by trade, like that's what you've studied as well, right? So the last question that I have for you is a little bit more about just like living in Canada and that experience, because you were here, you left and then you came back again. Can you just share a little bit about like what's it like living in Canada? Because it seems like you came at two very different times.
Yes. I don't have a lot of memories when I was young here. I think I was 7 or 8. So I have some like instances that I remember here and there. But coming back as an adult and like raising my children here has really been such a blessing. Canada's a really beautiful place. Like, I know it's very, very cold. That's one thing. But besides, if you get past the cold, the community here is really, really really, really nice. It's just a really, really nice place to live in and lots of opportunities. The kids have a lot of friends and there are a lot of, it's a very diverse place. And yeah, I think it's, really nice to live here.
That's so good. And I am from Nova Scotia. My wife is from, did you know, did I tell you that? I didn't tell you that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I'm Canadian. Fully Canadian. So my wife is from, I'm from Nova Scotia. I grew up in Preston, which is a community in Nova Scotia. And my wife is from, and I always say this to make fun of her, so she says she's from Toronto, but since you are like, you live in Ontario, actually from Richmond Hill. You know where Richmond Hill is?
Yeah, I do. I'm in Oakville, like an hour away.
Exactly. So it's not Toronto, it's Richmond Hill.
I grew up in Hamilton and then now I'm in Oakville. So we're both an hour away. But nobody knows these places. So you have to say Toronto because
they don't know. That's so funny. So we usually go back to Richmond Hill every summer. So I'm going to contact you when we get back there.
Oh, because yes, definitely. We'll have you over for some Korean food.
I would love it. I would love it because we literally spend at least 3 weeks in, I mean, it is kind of like, we do spend 3 weeks in Richmond Hill. We go out a little bit, like we'll go to a baseball game or like a show or something once in a while, but it's usually 3 weeks in like Richmond Hill, which is great, which is really great. Yeah. Like we get to spend time with their family. But since you know Richmond Hill, perfect.
Yeah. Definitely. When you come over, email me and we'll definitely connect and you can come over. We can have you guys over.
Done.
I'm a big
season. Done.
I cook a lot, so we'd love to help you.
I saw that you like to cook. So just before you go again, do you have a publishing date?
I think it's about around January 2025, but we still don't have like a solid date for that.
It's so interesting because I know exactly what you're talking about. Like they kind of give you a date, but it's not like an official date. So you have to kind of, I get it. Where can people find you online?
I'm mostly on Instagram and Twitter. My handle on Instagram is Nadine Presley Author. And on Twitter, it's just Nadine Presley. Because I'm a bit an author. My name is so long.
It's not that. It's longer than mine. But it's not that long. I want to thank you so much for hanging out finally. And until next time.